Today we, the last time I was with you, I was, we were in the book of John and Peter. The last time I was here, Peter was at breakfast being reinstated into not just fellowship with Jesus, but being recommissioned as an apostle. And Jesus handed him the bread and the fish and said, "Feed my sheep." And that was at the beginning of the ministry of Peter. And now we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're at the end of his ministry, somewhere near the end of his life. And we watch his life. I don't remember. I wasn't here on Pentecost. I was somewhere else preaching. And I presume it's on Pentecost you may have heard a portion of Peter's preaching that after he was commissioned, then immediately the Spirit of God equipped him to come and to speak and to shepherd the people of God. And now at the end of his life, he writes and pens a letter in some ways summing up and reminding us of things that we already know. So in 1 Peter 5, if it's helpful to you to turn to it, I invite you to do so. If it helps you to simply listen, I invite you to do that as well. Hear the word of the Lord. To the elders among you, I, Peter, appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, or you younger, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And we're going to pay particular attention to verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Peter writes and he says, shepherd God's flock. I drove here this morning, and I know I passed a few of your houses, and I may have passed others that I don't know where you live, but I didn't see anybody that uses sheep as their lawnmower. Sheep are not, the closest we get, we don't know how they smell, most of us. We don't really know what it feels like to pet a sheep and what its, almost said fur, feels like. That's how unfamiliar we are. But the closest we get is maybe wearing wool mittens or gathering the little balls for your crochet or knitting club. But we do get it. We understand when the Scripture speaks of shepherding God's flock, it's not strange to us, in spite of the fact we aren't sheep keepers. And Peter uses this imagery to remind us, and in fact, in 3 weeks, we're going to install new elders. And it's worth, as we install new elders, and in fact, every Sunday that we gather, it's worth taking to heart this image and this reminder that Peter writes to us, the simple but graphic reminder of Christ, the chief shepherd, holding, gathering, guarding his flock. And it's one that maybe we're familiar with it because so much of Scripture, of course, so much of Scripture has that imagery. And maybe because even as a little bit, kid, you knew that little Bo Peep had lost her sheep. You knew that sheep were wanderers. You knew that sheep were followers. But in Scripture, we hope we are all Scripture readers, we hear the echoes of all of the passages, or many passages, that Peter may be thinking of at the moment. How many can you think of? Of course, you think of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. By green pastures, he restores my soul. He leads me beside quiet waters." Of course, we think of that one. Maybe think of Isaiah 40. I think it was in our call to worship. I think the words were intimated in one of our readings where it says that it's a beautiful picture of the compassionate love of God, where it says the Lord, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those, the little pregnant ones, those who are with young. What a beautiful picture. Is that what he was thinking of? Or do you hear in Peter's charge, if you listen closely, do you hear a warning from Jeremiah, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy the flock and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord." This is one who guards his flock and he cares. Or was he reading Ezekiel 34? If you go back to the first, we'll look at the first words of Peter's letter. He's writing to those who are scattered, the elect scattered throughout Pontus and Cappadocia and Asia. And is he thinking of Ezekiel as he picks up his pen, writing to God's elect scattered throughout these provinces, where in Ezekiel wrote, "As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day." Or was Peter simply remembering being there the day that Jesus, the first time Peter heard him tell that parable about the sheep, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." This is an imagery that Peter's using that we know it, but we often seem to forget. And Peter makes it real clear and lays it out. He says, Christ himself is the chief shepherd. And we are his sheep. And he's away for a time. But he's coming back. And he expects to find a flock when he returns. And in the meantime, if you listen closely, Peter reminds us, outside, Peter says, as we gather here as a flock, can you hear? There is a pacing evil presence seeking to devour those. There's an enemy of our soul who is out seeking to devour the little ones. That's what Peter reminds us. And in the meantime, Peter points, I think of the elders sitting here for communion, Peter points to the elders, and in the meantime, he says, and I've left you in charge. And he points to us sheep who sit looking at those elders, and he says, look over there, I've left them in charge. Listen to them. Submit yourself to them. And the deacons hear, the elders hear that, and they wonder, I don't know if I can do that. And the deacons sit and think, why did I let them put my name in the bag? And the sheep look over and think, I don't know if they can do that. And here the Spirit of Christ leans down and says, trust me. Trust me. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Cast all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. And Peter spells out his method of keeping this flock intact. And it's things we know. He says, humble yourselves and cast all your cares upon Him. Those two things go together. Humility is not, it does not mean you learn to think badly of yourself and roll your shoulders over and hold your head down and try to look small. And that is not humility. Humility, to humble yourself, is to understand who you are and gain a proper understanding of who God is and who you are in His sight. And of course, that will then remind you who you are, who we are to each other. He is the one who is in power, not me. He is the one who has all authority, not me. He's the one who is working out His will. My will is not important compared to His will. He's the great shepherd, and I am His sheep. And Peter, the metaphor expands in Scripture beyond just the agricultural image. King David was called and commissioned to say, shepherd my people, God said. It's a kingly as well as an agricultural vision. Humble yourself before your great shepherd, your great king. He's the one who leads. He's the one who guards. He's the one who is in charge. His will is supreme. And if when you recognize that you're held by the mighty hand of God, that is an expression that conveys global rule, omnipotence, omniscience, strength that is unsurpassed. And the imagery is that Christ holds you. He holds His flock omnipotently in His hand and guards us. Humble yourself under His mighty hand. Cast all your anxieties upon Him. He cares for you. And He tells you that in the meantime, you need to be vigilant. You need to be sober. Because our battle in other parts of Scripture says it's not against flesh and blood. Spiritual forces in wicked places long to trip us up. Watch out for it. Be sober. Be vigilant. Are you vigilant? Are you serious in your watching and caring for your soul? This would be a good time to say, amen, or bingo. Now, some attacks from outside, that roaring, sometimes it's more subtle than others. Some attacks are obvious. Some of you are toying with temptations that are the obvious ones. Adultery, and lust, fornication, theft, idolatry. And those big ones, you say, well, those are obvious attacks. And be careful, you're in dangerous territory. Be sober, be alert. Your adversary seeks to destroy your soul. But there are other attacks that are not so obvious. And these are the ones that are almost probably more dangerous. And that is our tendency for many of us to stay on the fringes or the edges of the flock. You don't appreciate God's method of keeping you. We don't necessarily think of church as our flock. It's, for some of us, something we do, and then we get it over with and check the box off until next week. Some don't even do that. I was at a bank and had a conversation with a man who saw a check that said pulpit supply on it and began to ask me, you know, questions. And I said, so where do you go to church? And oh, my wife and I do some things online. God's method of keeping us is to gather us together. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as is the habit of some, but stir each other up to love and good works while the day draws closer. We're intended to be a flock. Be vigilant, be sober. And Peter makes it real clear that this is God's flock as we gather together. When I pastored in Zealand, when I was outside of Zealand, people would say, well, Jay, how big is your church? I knew what they meant, but it's not my church. Tim will show up at Mount Hermon, and invariably somebody will say, tell us about your church. How big is your church? It's not his church. It's not our church. There was I have a quote. I don't remember what the story is about, but a lady back in the days when, you remember that thing called the newspaper? The words of a 63-year-old choir member in the Grand Rapids Press said, can you believe, I don't remember what the story's about, but can you believe that minister thought he could just come in here and change our church? Well, I know what she means, but it isn't our church. This is the flock of the living God, the chief shepherd. This is his church. And we must never forget it. And Peter reminds us to these elders, to you who are elders or been elders or will be elders, and to us who are to submit to elders, shepherd God's flock. It is not your flock. It is God's flock. And Christ is right here as the chief shepherd by the power of his Spirit and by the provision of the physical manifestation of elders and deacons. He is shepherding his flock by the simple means of pouring forth his Spirit through word and through sacrament administered by his under shepherds. And his instructions are clear. Humble yourselves under his mighty hand. He cares for you. He cares for you. Peter's been telling, this is where I say go back to chapter 1. Peter's been telling this from the beginning, how God cares for us, that he cares for us. He writes to God's elect. To God's elect. Before the foundation of the world, God had you in mind and set his love upon you. He cares for you. He chose you, Peter writes, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. This is a first out of the chute kind of love. It's not that we loved him, but that he loved us first. This kind of foreknowledge Peter's writing about is not the same thing as a mathematician who could tell you that next April, I think it's April 8th, you better rush down to Indianapolis or Cleveland, and if you didn't get a hotel room, it's too late, because there's a total solar eclipse, and it's magnificent. It's going to happen. A mathematician or an astronomer can tell you that. Foreknowledge. That's not the kind of foreknowledge that this Peter is speaking of. He's talking about the foreknowledge of God that plans, that directs, that equips, that guards, that moves history to gather his people together to see him face to face. He cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him. He put a new heart inside you, Peter says. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, the living God has and Christ has poured forth his Spirit to create in you a new life. He cares for you. He's transforming you into his likeness. His Spirit, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, is poured forth so that you could be obedient to Jesus Christ and be made like him. He cares for you. God the Father adopts you. Here we are on Father's Day. Some of you can give thanks that you have a father that is the textbook father. You could dream of none better. Some of you have stories that are horrendous. But the scriptures give the image of the perfect father, God the Father, who adopts those into his presence who are unworthy, unlikable, who are ugly, and he makes us beautiful. He transforms us into him, his image. This is the Father who adopts you into a living hope that is imperishable, that cannot fade away. Humble yourselves, he says, before him. And he rescued you from the slavery of sin to make you holy, not by simply getting out his checkbook because you're in the jail we call sin and took a little extra cash and bailed you out of your sorrows, but it was by the precious blood of Christ that he redeemed you. He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety upon him. He cares for you. And Peter concludes, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, make you firm, make you steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. And all God's people say, amen. Lord, we thank you that you are the chief shepherd, that we can rest in you, trust in you, look to you to not just gather your people, but to gather us and to transform us more and more into your likeness, so that one day we do not know what we shall be, but we shall be like you in your glory and see you face to face. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.